Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, and welcome to the 56th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow underscore Magikarp, and I'm joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. Joining us once again for the second week in a row, we have the person who went to EUIC and is going to share us the tales of the bottom tables, Grant, aka Boo CK.
Yo, thanks for having me back.
And the first ever non-team member to join us three times now, we have the man who is going to join or let us know the stories of the top tables and the sexiest man in the Pokemon trading card game, Pedro Torres, a.k.a. Shinichi.
Hello, chat. Pedro here. What's up?
So I got a very special episode for y'all today. We're going to be talking a little bit about just what was EUIC like? What was it like traveling internationally for a tournament, either the first time or another international tournament, the first one in many, many, many years. And then we're going to talk about the results that both of these two got, focusing mostly a little bit on Pedro's. And then we'll get into some questions from Twitch chat. As always, we are live on twitch.tv/mellow_Magikarp. So the very first thing I want to ask you both about, because I've never been to an IC period, and I've actually never traveled outside of the country for a Pokemon tournament, unless you count going to Canada for a couple League Cups, that I would not count that for anything. What was it like being at an international championship? And Grant, it was your first time, so I want you to start first. What was an IC like, and how is it different from a regional?
Well, this one was, it was pretty crazy. Obviously, the international travels a lot different, longer overseas flight, but then also the COVID regulations and things like that. So the mask stuff is long gone, but to get back to the US, you have to test negative. So I still wore a mask there and was, you know, pretty cautious about all of that because I didn't want to get stuck there. The time changes, I think, you know, because I was on Discord when you guys were on at night. I didn't really get the jet lag thing. I sort of just stayed on American time, which was fine. But then, you know, you're only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. But the travel, you know, in Europe, it appears they have, you know, actually great public transit. And, you know, I took a taxi, though. But it was pretty easy getting there. I can't really complain. Getting back was pretty rough. I got stuck in Houston. My flight was canceled, so I just got back today.
That sounds like something we did not have to worry about at Salt Lake City, the a lot of that stuff.
Right.
Pedro, what about you? What was it like traveling for, and it's not your first international trip, but your first one in 2 years to an IC? What was it like at an IC?
Well, definitely really happy for playing an IC again after, more than 2 years probably. And gladly was in my region, right? So I hadn't that problems that Boo CK had that I kind of would have in North American International, right? Because the 6-7 hours difference. So in that aspect, I also focused more in that tournament, my resistance physically and mentally. Because, as you said, this is way longer than the regional, and you need to have a better mindset for that to, you know, to play like 9 rounds or potentially 5 more in 2 days. You know, I actually sleep pretty late in my normal schedule, but for this tournament, I prepared way better 1 week before trying to fix my schedule. So when I played the tournament, I was actually waking up at proper time. And no jet lag for me. That's pretty cool. It's actually a thing, I guess. People don't take too important, but it's actually really, really relevant because you could be sleepy or you could be like not in the proper way to actually play a tournament, and you need to be fully prepared mentally and physically. And in these 2 years, I lost 20 kilos, so the physical part was definitely way better for my resistance, and mentally and sleepy schedule was definitely way better too. And actually, I was really happy with my place on day one and day two. I guess I play even better in day two than day one. But I still feel after playing that I need to improve more my resistance, because I D three rounds and I was tired playing only six rounds, so that's something I need to work. But in general, really happy for playing again in a top level, and extra happy for sure with my result, but that's just a bonus, right?
Just a quick for the American listeners who use fake units, 20 kilos is 44 pounds. So that's definitely a big health improvement over the pandemic, it sounds like. Do you think that, and this isn't going to turn into like a fitness podcast, but do you think that actually helped your stamina throughout the day, just like being in slightly better shape?
Yeah, definitely. It was something I thought it wasn't relevant, but actually being in a really good, healthy way, it definitely helps to think faster and to not being that tired during the tournament. So I actually feel really happy for that, because it's something I improved. And it's something I'm worried about, because with Pokemon competition going back, the stress part will go back to my body for sure soon, because we will have like tournaments almost every weekend. So it's something I will try to control as much as possible, the food, the sleepy schedules, and the potential jet lags. But I will definitely take more care about that after watching what can happen if you don't control it, right? So yeah, I guess it's super important. It's something people don't take it too seriously, especially the sleep schedule or the food stuff, right? And yeah, better physical and mentally part you have, potential better result you will make.
So I have a question based off of, not for you in this tournament, but so Grant's first thing is, I was jet lagged, so I stayed on US time, which doesn't sound the best to me. Pedro, how do you do it when you come to like NAIC or you go to Australia or anything like that? How are you adjusting to those time schedules for a big tournament?
In case of NAIC, it's easier for me because I'm a late night person, right? So when I, you know, in my normal life or day, I sleep pretty late. So when I go to North America, that 4, 5, 6 hours is kind of fine. So, but that's because I'm a really late night person. But for OCIC, definitely is more complicated. So I always try to go there with 1 week in advance, because that's definitely a completely different schedule for your body. And you wake up at times you shouldn't wake up, and you sleep at the times that you shouldn't sleep. So for that, especially OCIC, I'm definitely trying to go 1 week before. So when the tournament starts, my body and my mind is definitely way more prepared. So yeah, for every international, actually, I try to have some days to adjust this, and just trying to not go the day before the tournament, because then you will definitely won't feel that at your best level to play the game.
Yeah, that was definitely my problem coming in Thursday and not having... I didn't need much time to adjust it, because I don't sleep that much, but at least having a day more buffer to kind of figure out and get in the right groove would have helped. But I'm not blaming the lack of sleep on my poor play, although there was one grievous mistake that was right before lunch that I kind of feel like I was kind of running out of energy, and that might have been a contributing factor. But yeah, definitely getting there earlier would have helped a lot.
So Grant, you got in there a day before tournament start on Friday and you got there Thursday. So
yeah, when I planned, I had in my mind for some reason that it started on Saturday. So when I first booked all that stuff, I was already against myself.
So my next question is a little bit about Germany and how you all enjoyed it. So Grant, you didn't have much time, but we're going to start with you and then we'll go to Pedro, because Pedro, I know you were there for a little bit longer. What did you do preparing for the tournament with your free time?
I walked around a lot and just kind of saw the place. I didn't super enjoy it. I mean, not saying anything was bad. It was a great city. But like it's not like ice machines in your hotel and the air conditioning didn't work. So it's like, we were rocking the window, for fresh air. But it's just a totally different, you know, feel. And I enjoyed after I dropped, I walked around the city, and then the next day I did it again, just different directions, just, you know, 4 to 10 miles of just walking and checking things out and exploring, because I didn't get that time by getting there earlier to see the city.
Pedro, what about you? You did not drop and go wander the city, but I know you got there early. So what were you doing beforehand?
Yeah, I prepared like mini boot camp before traveling to Germany with Franco Takahashi from Japan. He came to Spain to spend some days with me and a Spanish friend. So we were like testing last minute chance. We tested especially like Miu, Arceus, and Urshifu decks. And it was actually a boot camp that helped a lot because we wake up early. What was really hard for me, but they forced me to wake up early for just that schedule, and I kind of sleep properly. And then we traveled to Germany, and we actually had the travel. We planned to travel with some days in advance, but we finally changed it because Betis played on Tuesday, and this is my football team, and I invited Franco to go Betis stadium because he likes football. So yeah, we finally decided to go Germany on Thursday, I guess. But yeah, it's the same hour than Spain, right? So for me, it's definitely perfect because it's literally the same hour. So yeah, on Thursday, we just came early to Frankfurt. I already visited Frankfurt some years ago. So on Thursday, we just relaxed, you know, like finalist for the tournament. And we wanted to, we planned to actually sightseeing on Saturday, but suddenly I qualified today too until top four. So it was kind of hard to sightseeing for me, and I finished at like 8 p.m. The top four, and then Betis played the finals of the football cup, you know, in Spain, and then I celebrate until 7 a.m. on Sunday. So I couldn't see the city this time, but I had a really good time for sure.
So my follow-up question was going to be about the celebrations, how you both did after the tournament, but it sounds like Pedro, yours was watching some football, soccer again for the Americans who are uncultured, including myself, and and then some partying all night. Grant, what about you?
Yep.
Yeah, it was just walking around, and I had the COVID test on Sunday, so I was trying to be, you know, kind of avoid people at that point because I didn't want to get stuck for 5 to 14 days in Frankfurt because I do have a full-time job. I need to get back. And fortunately I passed and got back here, but the travel issues coming back set me back a little bit, but it's okay. I gotta see the city. I gotta do the tourism type stuff that Peter didn't get to do. You know,
see, so cool. Who's the real winner here?
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about
it was good overall, I guess. Either way,
let's get into prep a little bit before we get into the results. So it's always the thing of like, how much are you testing your deck? How are you making your meta call? So again, Grant, could you walk us through a little bit of yours, and then Pedro will get into yours after that. So Grant, how much testing did you do? What was your meta call, and what did you end up playing? Not how did you do, but what did you end up playing?
Yeah, not a ton. I obviously have played Duraludon at Salt Lake City previously and did all right with it, and have played that probably the most in this format. And then I'd pretty much settled on Arceus, Bibarel, and so metagaming, trying to think of Europe as it being so different. I figured I'd see more Rapid Strike Malamar than we did in the U.S., which was basically zero. So I figured a Crobat VMAX would be great. And I basically then settled on what Azul had been playing. The capture energy is being really great for getting Pokemon out early and kind of preventing the Mew stuff, and then having the dark package for that. And then what I'd figured was I'd take my chances in Arceus Mirror Match and just try and outplay and win that. And then as we kept getting closer and realizing Lucario was going to be available, I wanted to put that in. And the whole time testing it, I was thinking, well, Rapid Strike, Urshi's just better. Hands down better, and covers all the other matchups too, and like, or the Malamar matchup. But my issue was, being relatively new to IRL play and play in general, like I'm trying to play simpler decks, and playing the Bibarel deck, you realize it's really not that simple. But trying to avoid Inteleon because of all the decision making, and I get burned out and shuffling and going back in and thinking like that would have a harder toll on me. So I try to avoid that the whole time. So I couldn't really see myself playing the Urshifu in that package, and so settled on Lucario because it was much more straightforward. And so ended up with Arceus, Lucario, Crobat, VMAX with a Moltres.
And Pedro, and for anyone who's seen your stream, Pedro, they probably have an idea on how you got to what you got to, but what was your testing like, and how did you wind up playing what you played?
So after Liverpool, Liverpool Juniors was 2 weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, I tested a lot, Arceus for like a month, and then I discovered Urshifu with Thor. I was tryharding Urshifu for Liverpool, that Robin ended up winning the event with the same list I played. I missed points for like two spots. I got 66, and we couldn't reach 400 people. We were like 390 or so. So I was kind of sad because I lost the winner in Tutor for my fault for just throwing an extra card when I had gaming hands. So I was feeling sad for throwing a tournament in that aspect. So I was kind of sad after the tournament for so many testing. So I took like a 1 week, 2 weeks break with no testing because I didn't feel well to test. But after that, thanks to my friends that trying to motivate me again, I tested again like 1 week, 1 week and a half before UIC. I got my motivation back thanks to my friends. In the weekend, Franco came to Spain, and we went to a Spanish friend house that I want to thank her for sure for inviting us 4 days to just test. And we tested mainly Mew VMAX, Arceus variants like Inteleon, Ice Rider, Vivarel and stuff. And we still tested Urshifu because I didn't want to repeat Urshifu, mainly because it's a really stressful deck. You need to know your prices, that's really lazy, right? But I was like between Arceus, that is more chill to play, Arceus Inteleon probably, and Urshifu. But when we were testing at that home all the day and all the night, we figured out that Arceus is not that great. Every day we tested Arceus felt worse than the day before. Sometimes because we think Eriton won, sometimes because we think Arceus don't won, sometimes just because losing the coin flip against Mew. And Urshifu felt way better every single day. The main problem of Liverpool sometimes was the consistency, and we kind of improved the consistency issues for a bit. Just putting the 5 Sobble, what is the Gossip Floor, because he has a call for family attack. We improved the energy problem against Mew sometimes with the Eldegoss, and we got some cards that are not really good for turn one or bad starters like Passimian. So with more consistency, the deck felt way better. And I actually convinced Franco to actually play the deck too, because he saw that the deck actually beats everything but Whimsicott. Franco and I decided to play Urshifu because Arceus test was horrible, to be honest. And my friend from Spain decided to play Mew VMAX because she felt really confident with that choice. So definitely really happy. And Fabian finally also joined me with the same 60, and Nico with the 58. same cards. So really happy for that, and really happy for the testing I had with Franco and my friend from Spain, because we were discussing a lot of potential plays against Mew and against Arceus, so this probably the two more popular decks for UIC.
So let's get into the results a little bit and how both of you did and how your tournament runs went. So Grant, yours is a little bit shorter. So let's go ahead and start with yours. How did the tournament go for you?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, the two decks I was planning to, you know, to have good matchups against, Malamar and Mew, that's basically all I played against. And, you know, Mew's fine once you get into the game, and but when you start with the Mew Donk to begin your international tournament experience, it's not great. So some a bad set early on, and then lost to a Malamar. Just, you know, classic pricing and them hitting it. It's fine. and then got back, you know, my feet back on the ground, beating another Malamar. And then I threw my round four matchup against Mew. I had Zigzagoon, Net, Quick Ball, and I won, and I mapped it all out way before Mew's taking its, you know, long turn. And I'd already won game one, and basically driver's seat to win. Zigzagoon, Quick Ball, the Net. You know, screw the whole sequencing up. So now I have Zigzagoon on the bench, and that was the downfall. So at that point, it was basically over for me. And then by after round six, I was just like, I'm not having fun playing this deck. It really needs to play that engine. You really just need the capture energies in there, because I just wasn't getting Pokemon out to set up Bibrill and actually get an attacker going. And so at that point, basically knew there was no point in hanging around and had some time in the day to go do something else. So it was pretty short and sweet. Learned from my mistakes. And, you know, we've got Indian a week and a half, so ready to play again.
Easy dubs in Indy for sure.
Yeah.
So Pedro, let's get a little bit into your slightly longer version. You made it past round six, so it's okay if you want to skip a few rounds and just be like, oh, I also have to give a quick shout out. Tord has the best and worst update tweets I've ever seen. It's like, I won round six. They didn't play Manaphy, LOL. So if you want to give any updates like that, you're more than welcome to. But do you want to quickly run through, how did the tournament go for you? How did day one go? And then obviously, how did day two and a top cut go?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly all the rounds, but more or less I kind of remember my matchups. So we made the list with Nico and Fabian mainly for preparing against what we think what the top three decks. So in our opinion, we expect a lot of Mews, Arceus variants in general, and Malamar. That was our prediction. So we didn't join Manaphy because we didn't want to counter our partners, right? That'll teach you to be nice. We didn't want to counter our partners, and we didn't expect it Urshifu, what actually was really popular. More than we expected, in especially played by really top players in the game, like Guada, right, or even Tor, right? So we tested Avery, for example. For Avery, Rapid Flow is pretty good against any Arceus, with Dance Bars, Manaphy, and stuff. Also pretty good against Malamar and Mew. Yeah, we didn't touch against decks like Whimsicott or Urshifu because we didn't expect to be that popular. So that's how we actually made the deck for this tournament. And in my case, it was a pretty good decision because I didn't face any Whimsicott until top four, of course, and I faced mainly a lot of Arceus, like 7-8 Arceus and like 4-5 Mews, and two of them with Marnie, what actually Eldegoss gave me the win, thanks to that new strategy against Mew, because you get there when they Marnie you, you just need probably one Inteleon for game because you have Eldegoss for the two energy. So if you just get one Incense or one Inteleon, you just have like the Moltres combo. So yeah, I was lucky to face a lot of Mews and Arceus. I knew how to play the both matchups, and I guess I 2-0 all the Mews and 2-0 all the Arceus, but probably two rounds that I got Marnie turn 2 into Brick, and I instant scoop because I know I can win the matchup. So after Marnie turn 2 and not finding a level ball or drizzle, I decided to just instant scoop to have time for game 3 and actually work it the rounds I won 2-1. There was one round I tied against Arceus because I couldn't have time to win game 3. Probably should have scooped earlier too, but that game I had a poor setup, but I still thought I could win. So yeah, I was like 2-0. Then I faced Fabian, that we played the same 60 on a streaming. So we decided to ID before playing on a streaming, and we asked it, all right, can we still play for fun and to show the match on a stream? And they said yes. And we said, please tell to the casters that we actually ID and we're playing for fun. But for some reason, they didn't tell to the casters. So everyone thought Fabian actually beat me in round 3. And it was funny because we said we tied, and they said no, but we need a winner. I was like, okay, Fabian, you can talk with them if you want because you won in the streaming match, you know. But yeah, it was a tie before playing. Then I guess I was like 3-1 for 3-0-1, 4-0-1, something like that, 4-0-2. And then I beat, I guess, another Arceus. I was like 5-0-2. I almost beat every Arceus just with every rapid flow. Almost every game, no matter if they play Inteleon, if they play VRL, if they play Manaphy, if they play whatever, you just have really rapid flow and wins the game against Arceus if you play properly. And I was 5-0-2 in the tournament and two rounds remaining, right? So I had like two winnings or two ties actually made me join the day two, because 5-0-4 also make day two because it's 19 points. So I faced Seb Simons, a really good player from Europe. I was considering to like play, right? Because it's like, all right, I have two winnings, but two ties is also fine. At that point, I felt really tired because I guess I played really well, but after some rounds, I still don't have the resistance I had before sometimes because I need more tournaments to prepare better because I was 2 years without playing, right? But Seb offered me the ID, and then I thought, he's a good player, right? I potentially can lose the two last rounds and not making the two. And I'm a player that normally prefers to, even if I join with less points, I prefer to play the two because I feel confident of myself that I can win 4 or 5 rounds the two. So after thinking for a bit, and I didn't felt really confident of my resistance, I decided to ID. So I just ID the round 3 against Fabian, the round 8 against Seb Simons, and the round 9 to join as a 5-0-4, only 19 points, but feeling confident that the deck was broken and I could beat everything in day 2. It was funny because then I checked in PokerStats day 2 what Seb Simons was playing, and he was playing Malamar, but I didn't know. If I knew, I would definitely play that round 8 because I think Malamar is a really, really good matchup for our version of the deck because we have Medichan and Quick Shooting and Avery and a really good game plan with Raihan rapid flow after Jogaloop. But I didn't know at the time he played Malamar. So
there's a reason he offered you the ID, huh? He knew what you were on.
Maybe he knew what I was playing, but I didn't know what he was playing, right? So it was kind of fun. But well, I joined with 19 points and I knew I needed to go like 4 wins and 1 tie in day 2 to make top 8. So I was actually thinking and talking with my friends, I will be happy with top 64 because we were like 71 people. So seven players actually will make top 128 after playing 14 rounds, which is kind of sad, right? Because it's like you may maybe do the same than people that didn't make day 2, but you play 5 more rounds and still didn't top 64. So I was like, all right, my goal is at least top 64. So I need to win like 2 rounds and
get
then
the money.
I will be happy. But then I started playing day 2 and it was literally the same than day 1. I felt like I played even better day 2 than day 1. So I faced like Mews, Arceus, stuff like that. Every single round I was like 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0. And suddenly I'm in the win an ID situation. And I guess I won 2-1 the win an ID. Arceus and Mews mainly day 2. Didn't face any Malamar at the tournament because the Malamar faced IED. So a lot of Mews and Arceus, and then I ID with Frank playing Whimsico the last round to join top 8. So I was pretty happy because I felt super confident. I played really well because I trained a lot all the matchups, and yeah, really happy for making top eight, and then my new goal was, or at least I want to try to win the top eight match because I want the trophy, right? It's pretty cool. A pretty cool trophy. But then I checked the top eight and it was like, all right, there's five Urshifus and I don't play mana, fee. So all of them are a bad matchup. There is a Sylveon VMAX guy. That's really a bad matchup too because he's weakness to metal. And there is a Whimsicott guy that actually destroyed me because I don't play enough Dark Attackers. I only play one Moltres, one Hoopa. So I was like, I want to face the Mew with the Urshifu because I feel it's the most close matchup I can actually win because the Mew player, I guess, he didn't play Marnie. So I was like, all right, it's funny how playing Urshifu, I actually want the Mew in top 8 to have better chance to make top 4. And I face Isaiah, what he plays Urshifu, but no mana fee neither. But it was actually my first mirror of my life. Since I started playing Urshifu, I didn't play a single Urshifu mirror in Liverpool or in UIC or in the testing because we didn't test Urshifu. So I was like, I don't know if I should go first. I don't know if I should go second. I don't know if I should pressure the VMAX. I don't know if I should drop it flow the Sobels. So I was like, it was a new thing of my life.
Quick question on that one. You haven't played it. Did Isaiah sit down and seem confident in the matchup? Because he knew what you were playing. So did it look like he had tested the matchup before? And did he like carry himself like, I know exactly what I'm doing? Or did he kind of sit down the same way of like, I don't know?
No, I guess he felt really confident. At least he was playing really fast and knowing perfectly what he wanted to make. So I guess, I guess he actually tested some mirror definitely more than me. I literally played zero Urshifu games. For Liverpool and for UIC because it's like, all right, we play Urshifu, we will see. We will figure out. It's like, you know. But he's playing no mana fee, right? So it was like really, really three close games. I won game one of top eight after a really close match. Game two, I almost full brick. But it was funny because he had like Mew and the Sobel and he net the Hoopa and he decided to pass. And my hand was like VMAX, energy. for rapid throw. So he was, yo, and I have like Hoopa in the active, right? So it's like, if he doesn't bench the Hoopa, what happens? If I top deck a net or a bear keeper, even breaking, I will win the game because of rapid flow. So he decided to take the risk, but I didn't top deck the net or the keeper. So I was like draw passing with Hoopa in the active.
Never lucky.
Game two. And game three was pretty fun because, pretty cool that game one, he won the coin flip. So I was like, oh, I don't decide. You decide, because I don't know what to do. So you decide if you go first or second. And I guess he decided to go second, so he could like solve it. I don't remember, actually. So game three was pretty close, and actually misplay won the last turn. Well, actually, it was really heartbreaking game, right? Because my games against Isaiah was pretty intense because he's one of the best players for sure right now in the world. He played perfectly and it was a pleasure to have a really good games against him. And my strategy was like rapid flow multiple times because I cannot two hit KO the VMAX because I don't play choice belt, but he played choice belt. So I guess he had a better chance in the mirror because he can actually 180 Gale Thrust with choice belt plus rapid flow for knockout. I need three attacks to take a VMAX KO and he plays Cheryl. So I needed to like rapid flow multiple times with Raihan, the bench, and then Echo Horn plus rapid flow again because I cannot go for the VMAX, I guess, with my list. So I thought I had game, so I only evolved one Drizzle for potential Inteleon, one Quick Shooting, and then I have two Sobels. It's like, I don't need to evolve another Sobel. But then he like net everything, evolved both Inteleons, and Clara all the one prize attacker babies of the discard pile. So I was like checking the discard pile. I was like, all right, how can I rapid flow with Horn if I cannot Horn anything, right? So he actually played perfectly that turn. So he's like, then he KO'd me with Moltres, the active. So his board was like Inteleon 160, Inteleon 150, and Moltres in the active, and no one pricer in the discard pile, and I have two price remaining, right? So then it was like, all right, I misplay because if I had that second Drizzle in play and not only two Sobels, I could quick shoot in, net quick shoot in, and then rapid flow Inteleon and Moltres. But because of that, my fault for thinking I will win, because he had like Passimian and more one prizes and two sovers in the discard pile, I thought I had game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, suddenly he had everything. And I was like, all right, I guess I lose. So my only chance is to kill the Moltres, right? And he needed to go second Moltres plus escape rope, because he played one escape rope. So we ended at the point that, I just killed the Moltres, quick shooting. And I started to pray that he couldn't find escape rope, right? So he went like Moltres and stuff. And then he Cynthia for 8. I was like, and his deck was like 12 cards, right? So I was like, well, I guess I'm losing because of my fault. So I was thinking, like, I deserve to lose, because if my Sobel was at Drizzle the last turn that I could evolve, I would have game, and I kind of threw. So he Cynthia for 8, and he was drawing card by card, but his face didn't change. His poker face didn't change. So I was like, if he actually draws the escape rope, he will definitely feel pretty happy, right? So he was drawing card by card, not feeling happy. And then when he drew the last card of Cynthia, he was so sad. So I was like, you didn't hit escape rope in like, 12 card and deck, and you draw 8. I was like, no, I don't have the escape rope. So he just damaged my Urshifu, right? But not enough for a knockout. So I won, and then he checked the deck, and escape rope was literally the next card.
Never look, no.
This time I was lucky, right? Sometimes it's on my side, sometimes on the opponent's side. But yeah, really good games with Isaiah, for sure. And, the four was on streaming, and I got destroyed by Whimsicott, starting Urshifu twice, breaking twice. And I had game one if Fran didn't marry me, my winning hand. But yeah, he found one of his three Marnies at the perfect time. Again, too, I just got destroyed. But yeah, really happy for making top four. Sorry it was too long, but the Isaiah game was super intense, yeah.
No, that was great. Watching,
I was watching it, I couldn't see what was going on, but I saw him drawing like that, and then he's like, oh, when he didn't get it. It's like, oh no. Yeah, that was super stressful watching.
It was one of my favorite games of my life, probably, because winning or losing, I was like, all right, I deserve to lose, because I had game, but I didn't thought he could actually net all the field and clutter all the discard pile and evolve both Inteleons. But yeah, he actually did. So I was like, oh, he deserved to win. But yeah, in a 12-card deck or so, the escape was literally the next card after Cynthia for 8. It was really, really close games and a really nice opponent for sure.
You didn't mention a lot of top four, but there was one thing I wanted to talk about real quick. So your body language on stream for game two, it was very clear how upset you were starting Urshifu. The second time in a row, it is very unlikely for you to start Urshifu once, let alone a second time, right? But your body language of just slamming the card down, you were very clearly frustrated. Do you think that ended up causing anything down the road of like, I'm already down on myself, I'm already doubting this, I'm already feeling bad? Or was that just like a one time, I hate this, okay, now I'm back in game mode?
For that time I was sad, but yeah, definitely like, all right, I have this start again, even worse setup than game one, but I think that's Pokemon, right? That's something we need to accept. So I still try my best, to win that game. But all my pieces were like in the price, like Snorlax was priced, Raihan was priced, Inteleon, Shady Dealings was priced, Koopa was priced. So I was like, yo, every card I need for this matchup is priced. But yeah. It was just some seconds of frustration, but I still think to myself, I'm going to try my best even with this bad setup, because that's part of the game, right? Then, for example, Frank semi-brick twice against Wada. Yeah, that's Pokemon, right? So I had a pretty good setup boards almost during all the tournament. The bad hands happened in top four. So at least it happened in top four and not in the winning. I'm sometimes really, really emotional and express my feelings while playing. It's something maybe I need to fix or adapt to not show that too much. But it was a friend of mine, so probably that's why I was more relaxed and like, well, if I lose, it's fine. Because Frank, just fun fact, Frank was the guy who actually gave me the decklist of Rayquaza when I top four at Worlds. So I was really happy. It's like, if I lose, I lose to the guy who gave me the night before the two, the list of the deck I made top four at Worlds. So I was happy for that. Yeah. Even if I lose, happy for my friend for sure.
And I'm sure you were asked this on stream, but I missed your stream because I was at work. Did you, you picked up the Whimsicott to read it. Did you say out loud, oh, it's a new card?
Yes, I was thinking like, your people will actually say new card chat, you know, like, I didn't even know the HP of Whimsicott or Whimsicott Vistar, because we were like joking and laughing during all the weekend, like, we lost to Whimsicott, and I was like, always saying, bro, I'm not touching or thinking about Whimsicott, because who plays that card? But well, I guess I deserved it then to face it before, but yeah, I didn't know like the attack or the HP or anything, because my test was just full Arceus, Mew, and Malamar. So it's like, people say, but we lost to Whimsicott. I was like, bro, there's, I mean, we, okay, we lost to Whimsicott and we lost to Sylveon, but who plays that? And suddenly two Intopate, right?
And then one more big question on the whole tournament run. You said when you're on in our pre-Salt Lake City and then therefore pre-Liverpool, you're excited. You're going to come in to Liverpool with a clean shaven face. You're going to be ready. Sexy Pedro is going to make an appearance. Pedro, the facial hair is coming back. Would you have done better if you came in with the clean, full sexy Pedro look? Or is the beard part of the new look?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? I always try to be like that, as you said. I did that for Liverpool. And as some people know of this podcast, what is the best Pokemon podcast, of course. I'm really superstitious, right? So after 2 years without competing and shaving and cutting my hair, I threw the winner in for my completely fall. So I wanted to change that mindset. Like, I will try to go no shave and, well, the hair I have after Liverpool. And it gave me the top four. So I guess if I will shave again and cut the hair again, it will be two options. Or I don't make day two again in UIC, or I will win the tournament. We will never know, right? There's no other options.
So are you not going to shave or cut your hair until the next tournament?
Probably not for Bilbao neither. But because Bilbao is my next tournament, like, yeah, 2 weeks is a special event. Now I'm thinking about it, because, like, well, it actually gave me lucky for UIC. So I'm thinking what I will do for Bilbao. But in Bilbao, I have some friends that I want to hang out with, and I may be going more sexy. We'll see.
So Bilbao's coming up. Indy's coming up. Just a very quick little spark notes. How do you expect 5 out of 8 decks being Rapid Strike Urshifu to warp the meta? Do you expect Rapid Strike Urshifu to start to see more play? Are the Mew decks going to somehow tech for it? I don't know how that is. Are the Arceus decks going to tech for it? Or do you think Rapid Strike Urshifu is here to stay as a tier one deck?
Oh, I think Urshifu is the best deck in the format by far, but it's definitely a really hard deck to play. Even I'm making a lot of misplays after playing like 200, 300 games. But people can actually watch that in UIC, Tor was like 30-0, right, in day one. It was like 2-0. So Tor and I didn't lose a single round during day one and day two until Whimsicott appears. That actually shows the power of Urshifu in good player hands. Like, we face a lot of Mew players, a lot of Arceus players, Tor and I, and we still didn't drop a single game. And I faced a lot of good players, especially like John N, Isaiah Branner, Milos Lab, Posleni. So Tor also faced like Gustavo Wada, right? And we still beat all the top players 2-0 or 2-1 for maybe one break. But the deck is really hard to play. So I think in our good hands, Urshifu is the best deck in the format. But people probably don't know how to play properly if they don't test it enough. But yeah, UIC for sure will make an impact for these next 2 weeks. So I guess people will all test the deck and play the deck, or try to counter it with Manaphy, Koopa V, stuff like that. And definitely will be more Whimsicott, because Whimsicott is hype, right? And people like hype, and people like
it's got hammers.
Yeah, hammers and fluffy Pokemon. So I definitely expect more Urshifu and Whimsicott coming up, and maybe less Mew, less Arceus. But it was funny, right? Because I guess almost everyone for UIC was thinking, all right, top three decks are Mew, Arceus, Malamar, and suddenly five spots of Urshifu VMAX. So yeah, I guess it's going to definitely change the meta for a bit. And I kind of want to play the same because the deck is just too good. But the deck kind of lost to Whimsicott. So we need to touch for Whimsicott and we maybe need to add mana fee. Mm-hmm. But then I need to cut some cards I don't want to cut. So we will see how we can adapt the deck, because we actually adapt the deck from Liverpool to UIC. So I guess we can still do it for UIC to Bilbao or Indy, maybe join mana fee or maybe join more dark attackers for Whimsicott.
Do you think it'll be as good like in the US since we play a lot more Marnie over here?
That's actually interesting, right? Because Marnie is definitely one of the problems of our deck. The rounds I lose was like Marnie turn 2 into no level ball, no drizzle, no draw supporters. So definitely USA, I guess we have better success in Europe because the meta is kind of different than USA. Also in USA, they kind of prefer to play another Urshifu list, as we saw with Raul and Isaiah and the group. They play like Mews over Snorlax and Research, and definitely a better deck against Marnie spam. So I guess for USA it could be different for sure than Europe in Bilbao. I guess the meta could actually change because of the play style of both regions, right?
Grant, what are your thoughts? Because you're going to Indy. Do you have any initial thoughts on how that meta is going to change a little bit?
Well, I hope, like Pedro said, that some lesser skilled players pick the deck up and can kind of feast on their misplays. That'd be great. But I'm still pretty much preparing for it the same way. Or I'm leaning back to just the Arceus dark package with capture energies, because that's what was working before and running pretty smooth. And I think that's just a good deck overall. I'll probably mess around a little bit with Inteleon this week, which is probably better, easier to get the Moltres plays off, and that, as we'll see more. Oh, I guess you'll see Mew anywhere at this point. It doesn't really matter that much, but not planning for as much Malamar. And then there's just this, what, there's 1,200 people?
Yeah.
So having a consistent deck, because expecting to see a lot of jank. You know, like in Salt Lake, you know, there were Durant still going around, and Rayquazas and all this other stuff that, you know, here at EU, I see it seem like it's pretty streamlined to a certain five or six decks in total. But yeah, having options, consistency is really the key, I think, just to play well. And Arceus obviously gives you that. We'll see how Inteleon works out for me personally. It's tough because we'll be testing online instead of IRL, so the timing and the rounds. I didn't have any IDs. Didn't really get close, or not IDs, ties. Didn't really get close, and I think it might have been more of an issue if I'd played Inteleon, so need to get my pace of play up.
I think just from experience, and Pedro, you've played a lot of Inteleon, so you can chime in too. It's actually not that difficult once you get used to it. Like, the biggest thing is for the Inteleon engine, if you can play it online, as long as you learn to know when you're going back in the deck so you don't waste time shuffling, it's not that slow at all. The biggest thing is the people who go into their deck three times with Inteleon, like, okay, Drizzile for level ball, and they start shuffling, and it's like, oh, wait, no, I'm going to play the level ball, and they go grab, let's say they're Drizzile chaining because they're bad, and they grab another Shady Dealings, and they grab, like, an Ultra Ball to grab an Arceus to use Starbirth, and it's like, well, if you shuffle that five times, you're out of luck. But if you know that you have to go back in the deck, you just don't shuffle it, and you just keep saying it, then you're totally fine. So I think that's the biggest skill thing for anyone out there who might. Because Indy is still going to be a lot of people's first tournament. I kind of forget that because we had so many, but like 1,200 people. Salt Lake City was 600 and very expensive to get to. And then I'm assuming the SPE is not going to have a lot of first timers because Europe's just way easier to get to events than North America is. It seems really cheap over there. But anyway, Pedro, do you have any other advice on like an Inteleon engine for someone who hasn't played it IRL before?
Yeah, actually, you said something that is actually really cool for people that maybe the first tournament, right? In TCG Online, you shuffle every time, but people can actually watch my day one streaming of UIC round 3 and my day 2 streaming, top 4 streaming in YouTube or Twitch, Pokemon, TCG channels and stuff. That when I play the deck, for example, I try to make everything clear. And if I'm going back to the deck, I always say to the opponent, I will take this, like level for Drizzle. And I always say to my opponent, wait a second, because I will go back to the deck. And that actually makes everything smoother, so I don't need to shuffle every single time, right? Also, I had some times that maybe I have Inteleon, but I'm still not sure about what to pick, because it's maybe an important turn to decide. So maybe I only shuffle sometimes when I say, all right, I guess I'm going back to the deck. Give me 1 second. And I maybe watch my hand and then I decide, all right, I'm going back to the deck, or I'm not going to back to the deck, and I start shuffling, right? So for first time people, I know that playing in real life is definitely way different than TCGO. I recommend that don't be nervous, or try to not be nervous. And if you need to take more time, because your first time running is your first tournament, is completely fine. Just try to make all your plays clear. Like when you take something, right, put it in your hand. And when you play, say that you play the card and then search the deck. And when you finish the action, put the level or the quick wall in the discard pile to make everything clear. So people can actually watch maybe my stream of round 3, day 1 or top 4. And you can actually watch how I played Inteleon Engine in real life. So maybe it actually helps new people to play the deck. That also reminds me that my round 1 in UIC was against a new player to play for the first time. He was actually shaking, really nervous, and I always try to say, don't worry, take your time. It's completely fine. I'm not going to call a judge. I actually, you know, told that to my opponent, and then he felt better and he felt happier, and he actually thanks me after the game that I was patient with him, and it was just pretty fine. I try to not rush my opponents never, and try to say, if you are nervous, keep calm, and I will, you know, take your time. It's fine. If your first tournament, I understand. I was in that position once, and I feel you. We just played the game. We played 2 games with no problem, and I was waiting more than I expected, but it's completely fine. We have 50 minutes to play, what is pretty good. It was funny, right? Because that opponent told me, like, if it was my first tournament, right, and if I actually qualify for Worlds sometimes and stuff like that, right? So it was a pretty cool scenario. It was like when I said I was actually was like top 1 in Europe championship points. He was like, oh, wait.
Good flex, Pedro. I'm not trying to intimidate my opponent, but I'm going to tell them I'm number 1 in Europe.
Casual, relax. You're going to lose. Don't worry.
And then he said, well, then I'm going to just try to win 1 game. And it was funny because I almost lose game 1. He was playing Jolteon, what is a pretty good matchup for me. But he marnied me, and I bricked on turn 2. But I top decked like Drizzle turn 3. So I could play the game and win that game 1. And game 2, he bricks. But I was like, I told him, like, you saw the game 1, right? Even if you are a new player, and I'm playing this game for like a lot of years and being top 4 at Worlds and winning Oceania, International, and stuff like that, you could win the game because sometimes I can break, right? So I top decked the level, I could come back the game. But yeah, he was a really cool guy to play in the round 1. And I guess he felt way better and less stressed and less shaking after I kind of tried to calm down him to, you know, to play better. And yeah, I just say, take your time, it's completely fine.
Good guy, Pedro, to no one's surprise. Are you ready to get in some questions from Twitch chat? So we've got a couple. The first one is from Slapjacks13 for both of you. What was the best food you ate at EUIC? So Grant, do you want to start us off?
Yeah. I didn't really have too much of the German food per se, like the schnitzel verst. But I did have their food most of the time. I found a pretty good steak place. Their cuts, there's usually the rump steak, which is a little different than what we're used to in America, but it was pretty good. And Italian place, the carbonara was not good, but it was fun. I don't know how it was. I went there during the day, and had a drink and hung out over there, and then ordered it later in the night because I wasn't hungry at the time, didn't want to eat, but I was like, I want to try their food. And it wasn't, let's just say the pasta wasn't even al dente. It was like half cooked. It was, it wasn't there. They didn't have it that day, like me playing.
They saw, they watch you walk in, like, this person definitely went 1-3 drop, like, don't even bother cooking it.
You're playing the Pokemon thing? Yeah, it's like, you shouldn't be here right now. It's it's still going on.
Pedro, what was the best meal you had during your EUIC trip?
So I have two in mind right now. That's a good question, right? Because every time I travel to a regional or especially to international, I'm a person that normally don't spend the money on almost anything that I need, because I don't need, more time I grow up, more time I say I don't need material stuff, I don't need anything to be happy. So I don't smoke, I don't drink normally. I dress the clothes I had with 14 years old because I didn't grow up as a tall stuff, so I'm still drawing the same clothes. So it's like, if I want to spend extra money in something in my life, it's going to be with good food, right? Something that's the only thing I want to spend extra money. So in internationals and stuff, for example, in Fogo do Chao in Brazil is a restaurant place that it costs like 80, 100 euros or so, but it's like, it's once of my life every year, right? So every time we want to go to really good places to eat, even if they are way more expensive than the normal ones. So that happened on Thursday night, day before the tournament. I went to with Fabian, with his brother, with some Spanish friends, with Medi TCG, what is in the Mellow chat right now too. It was my room partner. That was actually a fun fact. Medi TCG is a Mexican friend that he knew me on Twitch like 1 year ago. He likes my streamings and he just traveled from Mexico to Frankfurt just to meet me, not to even play the tournament. So it was pretty cool that someone actually travels to know you, because I was like, he's one of my fans. We actually sleep in the same room and I didn't know him personally. So like, well, I hope you are a really good guy. Hopefully you don't kill me at night. It was pretty good. It was pretty perfect. Nothing bad happens. So I want to thank him for sure that he come to meet me. He actually gave me lucky, right, to make the four. So we dinner in like Italian place. The pizza was like pretty good. I actually tried like 3 or 4 plates. That night I was like, yo, I want to try everything, you know?
I can't blame you there.
Yeah, the other really good meal was when I ID against Frank. I had like 1 hour right before top 8. So I went for the first place I saw next to the tournament. It was like a burger, not anything like super cool. But it was the burger of the victory, right? It was like 10 euros burger. Wasn't good at all, but I enjoyed it like crazy, right? Because it was like, I did the job. I'm really happy and I'm going to enjoy this even if it's not great. But it was the burger of the victory.
Blaine asks, how do I play Urshi without my brain exploding?
Well, it's actually one of the best decks to improve in the game, right? If you want to be a better player, if you want to improve your gameplays, Intellion Engine in general, not only Urshifu, is pretty cool to learn how to play better your sequencing. So I'm struggling a lot still to play Urshifu, and I of course did some misplays during UIC tournament that actually could cost me some rounds, like top 8, for example. but I'm still trying to learn every game. So yeah, my recommendation always is to continue testing, and with more experience, more practice, you will be a better player. You will actually watch some plays faster. I guess I played better in UIC than Liverpool because I had more experience with the deck, so I could play faster some games in a better way with better plays, and thanks to that I could finish 3 games more than in Liverpool, for example, because I tied 4 times, but 3 of them were ID, right? So actually my 6 rounds I played, I 2-0 or 2-1 5 rounds with a slower deck in theory. But yeah, thanks to my practice and experience, I guess I try to do the best plays faster to finish the games in 50 minutes, because sometimes you face slower opponents and sometimes you face faster opponents, right? So it's just a matter of experience and practice. In Telong and Giant, with so many one-offs, it's pretty cool to check prices, to remember what do you discard, what do you have in the deck, which one-offs you need to use every turn and why. So yeah, just train on and you will get a high level at some point.
Medi TCG asks, Viva el Betis.
Yeah, Viva el Betis. Betis is, as people are watching the streaming, this is the my football team. I really love football. And Saturday, 23 April, we played the finals of the Cope. You know, like, I don't know how to say it in English. Like, the leagues have, like, the football ranks. The leagues have, like, the league trophy and the Cope trophy. So we played the Cope. My team is, like, not pretty good in general. It's not top 4, not top 5. So the last time we won a trophy was 17 years ago in 2005. So the Saturday, I made top 4, watched the finals at night, and we won the trophy final. So it was definitely one of the best days of my life, probably one of the best weekends of my life. So Viva Betis means, like, you know, Betis is the best and stuff like that. Like, so yeah, Viva Betis.
Sancho asks, do you run Manaphy now or do you leave it out of the list? So Pedro, are you shoving a Manaphy into Urshifu if you're bringing it?
Yeah, I guess Manaphy needs to be joined in every deck right now if possible, because Urshifu is going to be really popular, right? At least, I guess, for the next tournament. But even against some decks like my list, or lists that play Manaphy and Quick Shooting, Medicham and Quick Shooting, sometimes even it's not going to help a lot, because you can just Quick Shoot in the Manaphy for 20. If the opponent doesn't net in mid game, you can potentially Quick Shoot in net, Quick Shooting, Jogaloop into Rapid Flow. So even if joining Manaphy helps against Urshifu, against a good player, you maybe give the opponent an extra turn for running Manaphy. So it's going to be funny how people actually try to touch, because I guess Dance Part is not enough. I guess Manaphy helps, but could be not enough against some good players. So I'm starting to thinking that Hoopa V could be the most annoying Pokemon to deal against when I play Urshifu. Only one of my Arceus opponents during all day 1 and day 2 played Hoopa V, and it was definitely the hardest one to beat. So yeah, Manaphy definitely helps. But against a good player, maybe you actually give him an extra turn if we can actually Quick Shoot in net, Quick Shoot into Jogaloop at some point, plus Avery, Rapid Flow, and all these things, right?
Garolus Gambit asks, does the Arceus matchup get worse if they're running Manaphy, Dunsparce, and a card to recover them, Ordinary Rod, Clara, etc.?
Yeah, definitely makes it harder, right? But still, I guess the matchup is still fine. I faced like 6, 7, 8 Arceus, some with Manaphy, some without Manaphy. Well, the majority of them without Manaphy would make it easier for sure. But I still think the Avery Rapid Flow combo is just insane, because let's imagine the Arceus player has like 2 Arceus in play, Manaphy, Dunsparce, and potentially 2 Sobers or 2 Drizzles, right? So when I play the matchup against Arceus, I normally never touch the Arceus. I always try to go for Rapid Flow if they don't play Manaphy twice, and then I take like 2 prizes in the end of the game after they play Rod and Clara. I faced so many Arceus with Dunsparce, Rod and Clara, and wasn't even a problem, even with Big Champ, the Dunsparce, because you can just chill some turns, just give 1-2 prizes, putting a Snorlax or whatever in the active, because if they boss, you can just attacks or just Chilin. So if you Avery that boar, what the opponent discard, right? If they discard Dance Pars, we one hit kill the Arceus. If they discard Manaphy, we Rapid Flow. And if they discard both Sobels or Drizzles, my experience and my practice said they cannot draw the cards without Inteleons in play, right? So you can Jogaloop the Manaphy or Dance Pars plus Chilling sometimes with Urshifu. So even if they have the perfect board, Avery Rapid Flow or Avery Gale Thrust, if they discard the Dance Pars, is just insane. So definitely the matchup is way harder, right? But if you manage well your resources, I guess Arceus cannot win. I guess the card that puts more pressure, for my experience and my practice, is Hubavi. That card actually puts more pressure than every Manaphy and every Dance Pars in play, because they are low HP, and we play like Inteleon and four nets. And if they discard the Sobels, they probably cannot set up Marnis, Cherens, and bosses.
Last question from DeLock: who are you rooting for in the Champions League this year?
One of the best footballs I watched in my life, the best teams, was the Barcelona that Pep Guardiola trained some years ago. That was, one of the best teams I ever seen in my life. So I'm actually, even if I'm from Spain and Real Madrid and Villarreal are in the Champions League, I'm kind of rooting for Manchester City, mainly because I'm a fan of Pep Guardiola and his way to train and his way to understand the football. But yeah, I actually don't care a lot actually if Madrid wins or Villarreal or City or Liverpool. I just enjoy watching football. But if I want to root for one, I'm rooting for Manchester City because of the of Pep Guardiola. I guess he's a really good coach and he deserves a win in City as a trainer, as a coach.
Clearly, my favorite mod is upset at that answer. Pedro, where can the people find you if they want more of your amazing knowledge on the Pokemon trading card game?
So, today was actually the day I left Twitch after 4 years. It was my last stream of TCG. I'm left in Twitch. So it's a really good way to say goodbye in your podcast. I'm leaving as a content creator, but I will still compete in for sure every weekend.
Can we still get you on the pod occasionally?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I'm just, leaving as a content creator part, but I will continue to do coaching. People can actually watch my coaching stuff in Metafa. I didn't up my prices after top 4 UIC, still the same prices. People can actually have a really good offer. So, people can actually find me probably on Twitter. I don't use a lot of social medias lately, but I will still post some results and some tournaments on Twitter. It's Sininchi. I'm leaving Twitch this month after 4 years. I streamed for like 2,800 hours during 4 years, so I kind of want to move on and do other projects. But yeah, I will still compete in for sure. And always a pleasure to be in the podcast. So yeah, people can actually find me on Twitter. Probably it's going to be the easier way. And of course, in real life tournaments, I will try to go to all the regionals, all the special events, all the internationals, and the worlds. So if you watch me there, just say me hello. I don't bite. We can make a picture if you want, chat.
Sad news, because I had to miss your stream, but be sure to check out the Twitter and the Metafy link to Pedro's coaching. I'll have that in the description box about the YouTube video or your podcast app. Highly recommend for anyone out there who wants coaching. Grant, where can the people find you?
Twitter at RealBooCK, one word. That's pretty much it.
And myself
right now, yeah.
You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at @Mellow_Magikarp. Thank you to everyone who left comments or ratings after I put it at the start of the last podcast. A couple of you did, and that is actually super appreciated. So thank you all so much. And this has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.